Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to my loft on this September 8th evening. I'm romantic fiction author Rusty Blackwood, and I would like to do a first promo for the re-release of my five-star award-winning romantic fiction drama Willow's Walk, which is expected for release the middle of this month. Tonight I've chosen to read chapter 11, entitled Another Lost Day, but on a cheerful note. The harassing buzz of the alarm woke Willow from a sound sleep. Extending her arm from beneath warm covers, her groping hand swiftly seized the culprit, quickly stifling its annoyance. She lay back, yawning in sleepy haze while stretching her body its full length. The howling wind racing across the front porch told her that another stormy day had arrived, but it was warm and cozy within the confines of her bed, so much so that the idea of going outdoors made her shudder at the very thought. How she wished she could just snuggle deeper into her covers and drift back to dreamland, but that wouldn't pay the relentless bills doing their best to set a record growth upon her desk. Willow glanced at the clock and noticed she had a few minutes to spare before she had to get up. Thankful of the reprieve, she lay yawning, her thoughts traveling back to the prior night's delightful conversation with her charming new friend. There had been something about him that tweaked her interest. She didn't know what exactly, but whatever it was bringing a pleasant smile to her lips, and it felt damn good. Her thoughts remained upon the charming young Irish lad as she rolled onto her side. As she did, she thought about how long it had been since she'd actually smiled about anything. She laid her head back, closing her eyes tight in order to relive the prior evening, when it suddenly occurred to her that her sleep had gone unbroken. She'd not slept that sound in days, months in fact, for her mind could never shut down long enough because of the constant thoughts running rampant throughout it. Worry had become a constant staple, but no matter what she did, it never seemed to leave. A strong gust of wind hit the house, flipping the porch chairs onto their side, causing Willow to jump in the process. "Wow!" she exclaimed, throwing back the covers in haste. She quickly secured the heavy robe from the foot of the mattress in hope it would hold the bed's warmth against her bare body. How she hated winter! The exact opposite of the way she had once felt, for there had actually been a time when she liked it. But that seemed so long ago it was as though it had never been. She still held a fondness for snow, for its whiteness blanketed the stark, rancid death lying beneath it. Everything remained alive if it were covered in fresh snow, for the snow itself was alive, that is, until it touched the ground. But how she wished it would remain off the road, as well as her car, for it meant another morning of scraping ice. It might not have been so bad had her car the pleasure of a garage to rest in, but that wasn't the case, so cold or not, she would endure. The morning ritual slipped by without a hitch, everything falling into place like clockwork. Surprise tapped Willow's shoulder with this realization, yet she couldn't help wondering about it. Something was out of whack every morning, so why should this one be any different? As she stood at the kitchen counter sipping hot coffee and dreading the outside elements, the phone rang, causing the cup to eject from her hand, sending its contents airborne. "Damn!" she remarked in disgust. The phone continued ringing while she hastily grabbed a dish towel to soak up the spilled contents. "I'm coming! I'm coming!" she called with annoyance. Finally abandoning her plight, she scurried to the phone. "Hello?" she inquired, all the while extending her foot as far as she could to gingerly aid the poor soaked towel, that of which was fast becoming a sticky brown blob. "Good morning, Willow. How are you this nasty day?" Winifred Brown inquired in her cheerful English dialect. "It's certainly dreadful out there, which brings me to the reason I'm ringing. I don't think you'll get down my road. The plough has not yet been through, and the drifts are dangerously high." Even though this news meant she didn't have to venture out, Willow sympathetically replied, "That's too bad, Winnie, because I was hoping to get those cupboards finished for you today." A chuckle reached through the lines as Winifred gaily replied, "Oh, that's all right. They certainly aren't going anywhere. I've not a doubt we can catch up another time. What day do you next have free, dear? And as she spoke, a giant gust of wind shook her house at the precise moment it shook Willow's. Glaring out the window with eyes wide, Willow regretfully replied, "Not until next Monday, I'm afraid. But if this storm keeps up, it's highly unlikely I'll be getting to anybody for a few days. Are you all right? How's your hydra holding up in the wind?" Of all of the people on Willow's cleaning roster, Winifred Harris Brown was her favorite. She was getting well on in years and was Willow's eldest client. They had enjoyed each other's company for 18 years, fully as long as Willow's cleaning service had been in existence. She had been the first lady to answer Willow's advertisement all those years ago, and had become a fast friend in no time. Having accompanied her husband from England many years earlier, Winifred was now a widow, living alone, her only companions being that of 4 cats and Jeeves, her lovable little terrier. Willow always worried about her, for she no longer drove, having given up her license a few years earlier, and she knew how much Winifred had come to depend on her, maybe more than she should, and more than ever when the weather was presently like it was. Jovial laughter again tickled the line as Winifred replied, "Still holding fast, dear, though I think we shall lose it before the day is through. I've candles at the ready should I need them, and enough water drawn to last indefinitely. The worst, of course, will be the loss of the furnace, should the hydra default, but should the need present itself, I have extra blankets standing by in which to wrap the animals and myself in warmth. How are you faring there, my dear?" Gawking out the window, Willow answered, "Well, it's terribly windy. The snow's still coming down, but so far everything's all right. I must say, though, that I'm glad not to have to come out in this. I just hope the hydro continues in this wind, because the temperature's really dropped overnight. You just stay put in the house, and whatever you do, don't venture outside, okay?" Somewhat chuckling, Winifred replied, "Oh, you need not worry. I'll be fine. I just didn't want you on the roads, and if we must wait till next week, then that will be fine." Realizing her friend's intention to disengage the line, Willow quickly stated, "Now remember, Winnie, don't be going outside. Just let Jeeves out on his short rope so he can't get off the porch. Trust me, he won't want to stay out long, and he can be reeled in when he's finished his business. I don't want you going out there." Still chuckling, but in a stiff tone, Winifred replied, "Very well, my dear. Jeeves and I will hold down the fort. Not to worry. I'll talk to you soon." "Okay, but if you need anything, please call," Willow stated, but before her friend could leave added, "I don't know how I'll get it to you, but I'll find a way." "Righto, Willow. Bye-bye for now." Willow's thoughts remained upon her English friend as she returned to the mess on the floor. She was grateful not having to venture out, but sorry because it meant a day's lost wages that were badly needed. She also felt sorrow at not being able to partake of her friend's eccentric yet wonderful outlook on life. Willow often wished she could share Winifred's audacious way of looking at things. She knew her friend had faced tremendous difficulties throughout her life, but had risen above adversity in every aspect. She had survived the London Blitz and had fought to win her rightful place within the dog-eat-dog world of publishing, primarily dominated by men at a time when women, regardless of qualification, were considered secondary. She had then carried on achieving success in that field while enjoying a successful marriage along the way. She was certainly a prime example of what a woman can do when she sets her mind to it. Since the day was to be hers, Willow looked about while deciding what she'd do with it. Going anywhere was definitely out of the question, for even though she lived in the city, the rate in which the snow was descending, the streets would soon be turned into a driving nightmare. There was always endless chores to be done. After all, the house didn't run itself. Yet she didn't wish to waste her newfound holiday doing menial tasks that wouldn't be going anywhere, so she decided to just see where the day would lead. The first order on tap would be the coffee clean-up. That sticky glob couldn't be let lie, and in no time at all it was removed. She hadn't dressed as yet, but since the day was to be a lazy one, she decided to simply remain in her soft pink terry robe, a Christmas gift from Jonas back when times were better, a time that now seemed a lifetime ago. Maybe it was, for her present life seemed useless, its path going nowhere but deeper in debt and long, lonely nights spent alone. But she refused to feel sorry for herself, regardless of the ever-present desire to do so. She realized she wasn't the first woman to feel this way, nor would she be the last, and she also knew she was far better off than some. At least she had her health, plus a roof over her head. She should give thanks where it was due. Yet self-pity can become a bottomless pit that sucks you deeper, if you let it, dragging you to depths you never knew possible. But Willow was bound and determined that would not happen to her. The kitchen clock read 9 a.m. The day was well underway, but it felt like it had been going on forever as she refilled her favorite coffee mug, thankful it had survived the recent fall. "Good thing we never put in ceramic," she muttered, just as the toaster signaled its contents readiness. As she sat enjoying hot butter on her tongue, thoughts again drifted to the previous evening, bringing a smile to her lips as she thought about the words she and Declan typed to each other. She found her mind filling with images of what he might look like. Would he be tall and dark, or short and fair? How could it even matter? She sarcastically thought, he's years younger than my own children, so regardless of whether his physical appearance is fully matured or not, he's definitely too young for me. Yet age is only a number. One can be as old or as young as one feels, couldn't they? Willow had known a few men in her day who shared this same opinion, but when she actually applied serious thought, the realization soon dawned that her interest in men, with the exception of Bernie Whidbey, had always been in younger ones. She never bothered analyzing the reason. It was just the way she was and the outlook she had. After all, Jonas was 2 years her junior, but only 2, not 35. That was ridiculous. Yet, as ridiculous as it was, it felt intriguing. It had been a long time since Willow Sutherland Crosby had been intrigued by anything. Maybe it was time she was again.